I'm Anna Sale, and this week on Death, Sex, and Money, I talk with some of the people who have introduced me to ideas that I've savored in 2021, including my therapist. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our election season series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, begins next Monday. And so far, you've nominated issues. Now it's time to narrow it down to the final 30. So our team has selected a number of key issues to cover already with respect to the New York mayoral and the New Jersey gubernatorial races. Some of them are obvious: development, education, crime. But we want your help rounding out the list. So from a group of your nominations that we've posted on our webpage, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and vote. Vote for your top issues to tell us what conversations are important to you. And you will note that some of the topics are New York-oriented, some are New Jersey-oriented, some are both. And your top vote-getters will be included in our 30 Issues in 30 Days series. Vote at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, all over the world, from Indonesia to Germany to Brooklyn, Muslims are gathering in mosques each evening right now to break the daily Ramadan fast. And two New Yorkers wanted to learn more about how those evening prayers and meals are playing out across the New York area. So they have undertaken a unique project. Every evening, Aman Ali and Bassam Tariq visit a different mosque to pray and share a meal. And, of course, they blog about it. Funny enough, they're calling it 30 Mosques in 30 Days. And the blog is called 30mosques.tumblr.com. Aman Ali is with us to talk about his journey through the mosques of New York. Aman, so nice to have you. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
30 Mosques in 30 Days. What a original idea.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it kind of came up like out of the blue. You know, Ramadan, you know, Muslims, we fast from sunrise to sunset. So on the first night, my friend Bassam and I, we were praying at a mosque on the Lower East Side. And I'm the kind of guy who's always, you know, all about adventure. You know, I'm the person that wants to do the 3 a.m. food runs and things like that. So I just came up with the idea that, hey, wouldn't it be crazy if we went to 30 mosques every single day for the month of Ramadan? And so I posted that on my Twitter and on my Facebook account. And, you know, my friends and family were messaging me and Bassam like, hey, you guys need to definitely blog about this. But like, no, man, this is just a little, you know, project that we're doing. And then it just kind of snowballed. We launched a site at day three, I believe, and all of a sudden we're getting traffic from all over the world. We're getting emails from people in Vietnam, Luxembourg, Indonesia, China, UK, all over the U.S., attracting people to this project. So it's just been an amazing experience.
And you're almost done. Ramadan's almost over, right?
Indeed. Today, we just did day 26 yesterday, so today's the 27th day, so you have about 2 or 3 days left.
So take us into a couple of these places. You've written about West African mosques in the Bronx, a Bosnian mosque in Queens. You visited the mosque, the very famous mosque where Malcolm X prayed in Harlem. Were you surprised more by the diversity of what you found or the consistency?
I was surprised a little bit by both. And what I mean by that was we made very sure, we try to make it as seem as normal as possible. We don't like to announce that we're coming because now this project's getting a little bit of attention. We want people to treat us as if we were just some random people that walked on the street. And so one thing that always takes us back is we step inside and people just, you know, swarm us with, hey, like at the West African Mosque in the Bronx, for example, we were literally the only non-West African people there. Mm. And as soon as we walked in, you know, people like, hey, did you get something to eat? Do you want something to drink? Just people making us feel welcome. And by, you know, 5-10 minutes, you know, we're sitting back cracking jokes, learning about their culture, they're learning about ours, and that's what's really taken us back is just how genuinely hospitable people are. That no matter who you are, or where you come from, you know, people open your doors to you.
So, listeners who are Muslim, call up and tell us about your mosque. Maybe you can convince Aman to spend day 30. Maybe you've already got it planned.
Absolutely.
I don't know. You
and,
do.
And that's been a. Now, it's kind of funny because we didn't think that there would be this many mosques, but the roughly, give or take, the Muslim population in New York is a little bit over 800,000 people, and we, just by a simple Google search, we found over 100, 150 mosques just in the five boroughs, And so now we're at the point that we almost have too many to visit want to visit.
Okay, so Muslim listeners, call up and say, at very least, what's unique about your mosque and how you celebrate Ramadan there? What do you think is unique? I mean, we know a lot of our listeners, Muslim or not, know a lot of the basic Ramadan traditions. We've talked about it on the show for a number of Ramadans now.
Sure.
But what about what's unique about your mosque and how you celebrate, especially at sundown when the feast begins? Give us a call, and maybe Aman and his partner, Bassam, will come to your mosque next year, 212-433-WNYC. Maybe they'll do 30 mosques, 212-433-WNYC. If you want to shout out anything that's unique about your mosque and how you celebrate Ramadan. And what about the West African mosque in the Bronx, for example? What goes on there that's unique?
A lot of it is just, the food definitely is unique. They eat a lot foods that I wasn't used to. They have a lot of, exotic fruits like guava. One of my favorite things they had, unfortunately, I don't remember the name of it, but it was a type of soup that was based on maize, it's a type of corn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very corn-based soup. It almost tasted like, and it had some apples in it as well. It's like a sweet corn and apple soup. Unfortunately, I don't remember the name of it, but I just couldn't stop, getting enough of it. And Bassam teases me because, I'm a huge, food nut. And so.
And after you fast all day, everything tastes good. You know that.
Right. Absolutely. And so there's definitely a little bit of a food element as well. But it's not just the food that we try to blog about. It's the fact that we're sharing food with, people that we haven't met before. And so there's a brotherhood companionship element to it. Like, for example, we went to Masjid Taqwa in Brooklyn yesterday, and we were all eating out of the same plate. And I wrote about on the site that at first, there was a huge crowd of people circled around one plate, and I was kind of the outsider, kind of reaching over, trying to grab some food. And then as soon as they saw me do that, they opened up the circle to me, and then everyone's making sure that I got juice and I got some food, and people, asking me a little bit about who I was. So the idea of food, is this sense of showing solidarity with one another, and we're all fasting together, and it doesn't matter who we are.
How about the Bosnian mosque in Queens?
The Bosnian mosque was a little interesting. Bassam, when he walked in, there's actually two Bosnian mosques he went to. He went to one and then realized he went to the wrong place and went to the other. The first one he went to, they actually asked for his ID. And so he was a little confused. But apparently there was a little bit of an FBI scare. This was a couple months ago, and it kind of had the mosque a little bit on edge. It was a false alarm. And so they were just taking a little bit of precautions. But as soon as he showed his ID, everything, was fine and dandy. The Bosnian mosque, and especially the Albanian mosque we went to in Staten Island, I believe it was on Saturday. Again, a culture that I, wasn't exactly familiar with. And I was just taken back by how big, especially the Albanian community, how big these communities are. And just how warm and friendly they are. And it's funny because as a Muslim, no matter, even though we all speak different languages and eat different foods, we all have, the phrase, Assalamu Alaikum, peace be upon you, as kind of our universal language. So just by saying that to someone, you're able to develop that bond with someone.
Ibrahim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ibrahim.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air. Go ahead. Tell us about your mosque. What's unique about how you celebrate Ramadan?
We are very, really enjoying the Ramadan because, every day we're going over there to break our fast. We got every type of food. And a lot of people came over there also who's not even in the organization just to eat on that time and then and go. From where I live, and my mosque is about 2 miles. But I drive every day or go over there to break my fast.
And I see that's the Benedict Islamic Center, you told our screener?
Yeah. Benedict is the street, but the organization name is African Islamic Center.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And here's Farah in Flushing. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi,
Farah. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Tell us about your mosque and how you celebrate uniquely on Ramadan.
The mosque that we go to is called Abu Bakr in Flushing in Queens. From the outside, it was redone maybe about 10 years ago, so it's actually a beautiful building. It's a blue and white building, and the population that most of the majority of people that go there are Afghan Americans.
Uh-huh.
But we do have a mix of, you know, Pakistanis and Africans and everyone else from the community. It's close enough for a lot of people to walk to, and there's many people will come for iftar, for the breaking of the fast.
Mm-hmm.
So we have in the basement is a huge area which is split into two sides. So the women will be set up on one side and the men will be set up on the other side. And it's basically the same thing. They have set up, you know, tables and chairs for everyone. And they have an Afghan chef that makes the meals every evening. So Monday, it's actually 7 days a week during the month of Ramadan.
Right.
Every night there's many people that come and... And the food is great.
Actually, as a matter of fact, Farah, we're actually going to be there on Saturday. We, both Tom and I had already discussed to visit that place on Saturday.
How about that?
Yeah, definitely. So we'll definitely be there, hopefully.
There you go. Okay. And Afghan food is great. So that sounds like fun to begin
with.
Ryan in Jamaica, Queens, from a brand new mosque. Is that right, Ryan?
Yes. Hold on 1 second. Ryan, okay?
Yes.
Hi, I was calling from...
Whoops. Ryan, we got you. Oh, Ryan has a secretary making us calls for him. Ryan, but then we lost him. Wait a minute. Ryan, I think we got you now. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Calling from Jamaica, Al-Rahman Masjid, 211th Street. We're actually operating out of two tents, one for the ladies, one for the men. And it's a big big community, a lot of different nations. So mostly they're West Indians from Guyana, I think they're among. And yeah, it's excellent. It's such a sense of community, and everybody's welcome to come to 11th Street in Jamaica, right off of Jamaica Avenue.
Can't the men and the women eat together?
Well, we're separated, but there's the kids running around, and it's all right.
Ryan, thanks a lot. Aman Ali, with his 30 mosques in 30 days Ramadan tour, along with his partner who couldn't be here this morning, Bassam Tariq. They're doing it together. Let's see, one of the meals you had at a Bronx mosque, notable for the variety of food. I gather the same place was serving cornbread and macaroni and cheese.
Was this the Riverdale?
I don't know. I just have it as the Bronx. They had macaroni and cheese?
Yeah, and a lot of these places, even yesterday we had a little bit of everything. We had a little bit of, like, yesterday in Brooklyn, we had couscous, you know, a traditionally Middle Eastern dish. We had lo mein, it was a Chinese dish. And then we had some soul food. We had cornbread, some baked chicken, some baked macaroni. So a lot of these mosques, because they're inhabited by people of different cultures, everyone kind of contributes to these foods. And keep in mind that these are meals that they prepare every single night, and everyone kind of pitches in and brings a little bit of something. And so oftentimes we get, you know, all kinds of different mixes. You would think, initially we thought it would just be a very homogeneous, you know, maybe a South Asian dish or a Middle Eastern dish, but that's been, you know, definitely a plus. Not obviously the reason why we do it, but a plus that we get all taste all these different kinds of food.
Now, are you really pitching in, or are you just mooching all over town?
And initially, you know, we kind of felt bad, but that's what we enjoy about it is it's like no strings attached. No matter who you are and where you come from, they open their doors to anyone in the community. And we've had reporters come with us, and they've made reporters feel welcome and, you know, give them food and let them know about the mosque. And that's always what continues to take us back, is just by how warm and welcome that all these places have been.
You didn't grow up in New York, right?
I actually didn't, and one of the reasons why it motivated me to do this project, I grew up in Ohio, and I moved to New York about 2 years ago, and one of the reasons why I wanted to do this project was I did know, you know, a fair amount about the Muslim community. I had a mosque I prayed at regularly and went to, and a couple other places I knew of, but I knew there was so much more out there, and Bassam was the same way as well. He moved here about a year ago, and part of this was just being able to just explore the community and see what's out there. And I remember all these things that we found that we didn't even know existed until this project. I remember in Staten Island, we found a World War II supply factory that someone grew up on during World War II. He worked there, and he worked his way up the ranks and turned this steel supply factory that the military used and turned into a mosque.
Yeah, that was a Bethlehem steel plant, I think, and you visited a converted banquet hall in Bay Ridge.
Right.
And let's see if we can sneak in. Oh, I don't think we have time. Gori in the Bronx. You want to invite everybody, not just these 30 mosques in 30 days, guys, right? Gori?
Yes. Speaking, Brian. How are you?
Good. Where can people go?
The people can go any masjid, to tell the truth. West Africa, we have like 8 masjid together.
You're on 166th Street in the Bronx?
Yeah, 371 East 166th Street.
And I'm sorry to say we have to leave it there because we're flat out of time. And we thank Aman Ali. And you can read his blog at 30mosques.tumblr.com. Enjoy the end of Ramadan. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.